The Lord be with you, friends. For the Hebrew people, Egypt was the only home they knew. It's where their parents were born, their grandparents, their great-grandparents. But their home had become a place that was no longer safe for them. It was no longer safe for their little baby boys to be born. Their home had become a place where they were not seen as full human beings, where their voice was ignored by those in power, where their lives were only worth what they could produce, a place where they were sinking down under Pharaoh's power, a place where they were bent low under bondage. But the one Hagar called El Roy, the God who sees, he saw them. He had not forgotten them. He had heard their cries. Can you hear their cries? And the Lord came to save them. And the story we heard today finds the Hebrew people delivered, saved from their bondage. But now they're out in a strange place, a wilderness place, a desert place, a place between the homeland they had known and a homeland God had promised, a new homeland. And the Hebrew people are trying to learn how to be free. They're trying to find their way to this new homeland, to a place where they can stand up tall, in a place where they are seen and known. And at this point, they haven't been free for that long. It's only been a few months since they left Egypt. But already they're finding that freedom isn't so easy. Finding their way to this new homeland is harder than they expected. And the people's patience is growing thin. Their faith in God, their trust in the Savior is being stretched to a breaking point. You see, Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai to meet with God, to listen for a message from God, for instructions on how to get to this new homeland. And Moses is slow in coming down. They wait. And they finally feel like they can't wait any longer. They're tired of waiting for God to show up when they need him, when they need his guidance. Maybe you know what that's like, to be waiting for God to show up, to speak some instructions, to tell you which way to go when you're in that desert place. And so the people, they try to take things into their own hands, literally, and they make an idol of an Egyptian god, a golden calf. Maybe this will be their quick fix. Following a god they can see and touch, that would be so much easier than waiting on a god they cannot see and cannot touch. But you know, this little idol of theirs fixes nothing. In fact, things get worse, a whole lot worse, and it puts everything at risk, the whole project. It leads to a terrible judgment. The Levites kill 3,000 people for this act of idolatry. And on top of that, God sends a plague on the people. And the lesson here is that when we turn away from the God of life, we are always choosing death. We are always choosing death when we turn away from God, when we take things into our own hands. And now the people, they wonder if all hope is lost, if the possibility of this new homeland is gone forever. And they begin to ask some deep, deep questions of faith. God, will you stick with us? Will you stay with us in this wilderness place? Will you show us the way? Do you still love us after what we've done? After what you've done to us, do you still love us? Have you asked those questions before? God, are you still with me? Moses and the people feel like they're sinking again, like they were in Egypt. They feel like there's no solid place for them to stand. And so Moses, on behalf of the people, reaches out to God. He's looking for something to hold on to, some firm place to stand. And Moses has an honest conversation with God. He lays it all out. He says, God, you've said my life has a purpose, but I don't have the strength to do what you're asking me to do. God, you've said you know me and you love me, but I feel like I don't understand what you want for me. God, you've said these are your people, but it feels like you're leaving us behind in the dust. Have you been in that place when it feels like God's good promises are slipping further away? Have you been in that place when you feel stuck between wanting to pursue your studies and knowing that you have to have an income? Between wanting your independence but wondering if assisted living is the right choice? In that place of waiting for months and months to see your loved ones who you haven't seen for so long? In that place of wondering, does God see me right now, in this place, in this situation? In my wilderness, does God see me and remember me and care about me? This past week, 11 of us from COS went to a conference in Toronto. If you went, would you stand up? Not all of us are here, but I know some are here. So a few of us, I guess the rest are exhausted. So we went to a conference, and it was a gathering of people who believe that God in a special way is with the refugee and the immigrant and the stranger. It was a gathering of people who believe God calls the church to care for them and also to learn from them, to sit at their feet, to hear their stories, to see how their faith and their trust in the wilderness journey is a witness to all of us. And during that conference, the thing I'll remember most is a story, a testimony that Insha shared. Insha is from Iraq, and in 2003, war came to her homeland. Our country was part of those that brought it there. Insha was a physics teacher in high school. She was married with children. And as the fighting drew closer to her hometown, she and her family had to flee to Turkey. And they found a place to stay in Turkey in a very poor area. It was hard to find enough food. They had very little money. Everything had been left behind. And so Insha looked for work, but the only work she could find was at a high school cleaning. And the principal offered her this job cleaning. He said, here's what you'll do. You need to wipe down the desks. You need to clean the boards. Clean up after the teachers have eaten. And make sure you scrub the toilets well with bleach. And Insha felt like she was in that wilderness place. She felt like she was sinking low, and she didn't know if God had forgotten her. And that night, after the principal offered her the job, she came home, she got down on her knees, and she wept before God. She wept and she wept and she prayed. She said, God, why? Why are you doing this? Why have you let this happen? I don't understand. I'm a teacher, and now you're asking me to clean up after the teachers? Why are you asking me to get down on my knees and scrub toilets? Why, God? I don't understand. Just tell me why. And she cried out to God for 3 hours, she said. And finally, when she had cried all she could, she became calm and still. And that's when she heard God speak to her, she said. She said that God spoke to her. He said, I am the God who made the heavens and the earth. And I left my throne in heaven to come down to earth to serve. Remember, Insha, the servant is not greater than her master. So what are you so proud of? And Insha saw that she had pride in her family name, in her career as a physics teacher. She thought she was too good for this. And God was inviting her to humble herself, to follow Jesus, who became a servant of all. And so she took that cleaning job. And today, Insha and her family live in Canada. And she said those 7 years of waiting in Turkey, those 7 years of watching her homeland be torn apart by war, those 7 years of cleaning toilets, they became the best years of her life. Because even though she had lost everything, she met Jesus in a way she had never known him before. She came to know the God who emptied himself and became a servant of all. So she said, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. Because beneath all she'd lost, beneath her struggles, beneath all the tears, she found a solid rock to stand on. And that rock was Jesus Christ. So Insha could get down on her knees and clean toilets and then stand up tall and take pride in the work God was asking her to do, to not feel ashamed at all, because she knew that God was there with her, that Jesus was there on his knees next to her. This God who came down and who put a towel around his waist and got down on his knees, and he took our dirty feet in his hands and he washed them clean. She met that God. And she found in him a place to stand. So Moses' conversation with God goes back and forth. We heard it together. Moses raises his doubts and he makes requests. And then the Lord assures Moses, I won't forget you, Moses. I'm going to take care of you. But Moses comes back. He wants more. God, I need to know you won't leave us when we need you most at this time. God, we can't make it out there on our own. We depend on you. And again, the Lord says to Moses, I promise I won't leave you. Trust me. I love you. I know you better than you know yourself. But again, Moses comes back. He wants more from God. He wants more than words. He wants more than promises. He wants to see this God who whispers his name, this God who whispers promises about a better homeland. Moses wants to see this God. He wants to reach out and touch him. He wants to feel the power of this God who saves. Isn't that what we all want? Have you ever sat in prayer just wanting God just to show up? Let me see you. Let me hear your voice clearly. It's hard to trust promises that we cannot see. It's hard to trust a small whisper. Is that you, God? We want more than just a small glimpse of God passing by. We want to see God's face. The week before last, Jana and I were taking a walk in the woods, and we came across a quote carved into wood, and it's this quote: "Life must be lived forward, but it can only be understood backwards." Life must be lived forward, but it can only be understood backwards, looking back. I think that's right. I think that's how it goes. It's hard to see in the moment how God is working, what God is up to in our lives. It's hard to trust when we're in the wilderness place that God is there with us. It's hard to trust that God is with us when we're on our knees, when we feel lost, when we have sinned, or when terrible things have been done to us. It's hard to trust. But our God is gracious and merciful. And when all seems hopeless, God says, "Here, there's a place for you to stand on the rock. I'll make a place for you." And then we look back and we see, oh, God has passed by. He was there. We see, looking back, that God never left us. That all along, God was holding us up when we felt like we were sinking. We see that what others meant for evil, God was working for our good. Paul put it this way: "Now we see only a dim likeness of things. It's as if we're seeing them in a foggy mirror. But someday, we will see clearly. We will see face to face. What I know today is not complete, but someday I will know completely, just as God knows me completely. Someday, friends." You know how long it took the Hebrew people to find a new homeland? 40 years. In the wilderness. It took Insha 7 years before she found a better homeland. And some of us in this room are still wondering, can I ever feel at home in this place, in this land God has taken me to? For all of us, wherever we call home, for all of us, it will take a lifetime to reach that true homeland, that better country that God has prepared for us, that God has promised to each one of us. And until that someday, God says here, "Stand with me on the rock. I've made an opening for you in myself, in my life, in my love. Stand on this rock named Jesus. And as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to God, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a spiritual home. Friends, we are being built together in Christ, stone by stone, to create a space, a place, a solid place where more and more people can stand, can find their feet when they feel like they're sinking, when they feel like they're lost. God says, "I want this home, this house to be a place to stand in Christ, where we can journey together to that better homeland, to be a place where we come to believe, yes, God sees me. Yes, God knows me by name. And not only that, John sees me and knows my name. And so does Vumilia. She knows me. She sees me. She cares about me." Friends, God has given us one another to create a space, a place of holiness and of safety and of refuge for one another, so that together we can journey trusting that someday we will reach our true home. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.